Now, you don't have to answer this question truthfully. How many liked the preamble last week? Nobody? Wow. How many liked the preamble last week? Oh, Bruce liked it. Okay. Well, I want to do another one. So, Hank, if you want to put it up for me. There we go. Okay. Now, let me explain what this is. This is right in front of my prayer chair, which would be in the living room right over here, looking out the window in the living room. Now, a lot of things have to be right for this picture to take place. In today's world, you can actually manufacture this picture with a few apps, right? But this was taken back in the day when that wasn't possible. And so how do you take a picture from inside of a room for an hour? So the camera was exposed for a whole hour for these star trails to move 1/24th of a circle, right? 24 hours in a day. So you can see where the North Star would be, would probably be up here. So it's just missing. And there's an airplane that went by right there. And you can see a couple other nice things here, like these glows in this area and this area, and even some over in here. So this is probably some of the lights from Kingston. This is some of the lights maybe from Saugerties. I'm thinking this is probably Saugerties over here. Over here, I think this is what they call Earth Glow. So that's just my interpretation. But what we're seeing is something that's really beautiful, that it's a lapse of time. And what is unique about this picture is that the window itself is dark. How did that happen? Because when you take a picture for over an hour or so, it's impossible to get these without some light reflected back. So I had to go through the house and unplug all of the night lights and even the microwave, because that had like a clock on it, and which was like two rooms away, to get the black window. So, but I wanted somehow to be able to show people that this is what I see when I pray at night, especially at 2 o'clock in the morning, because if I took it before 1 o'clock, the security lights of my neighbors are on. So this would be all washed out. So it's a good time to pray and remind myself of the glory and the creation of what God does every day in our life. We can turn the lights back on. Thanks. Now, is that good? Too much light. Now, interestingly, the scriptures I'm going to go to is in John chapter 8, so if you want to turn there. Interestingly, Jesus spent a lot of time with his Father at night praying. We know that because it says in verse 1 of this chapter, it says, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. That was a place where he could fellowship with his Father in heaven. Not formal prayers, but a place where he could fellowship with the Father. Listen to that. That's what God was speaking to us about today, too, wasn't he? You know, sadly, in Jeopardy, nobody knows what hallowed be thy name means because they missed the clue. And they said, what does it mean? Fill in a blank, blank be thy name. And they had no idea. So these are smartest people we know. Oh, well, not so smart. But when you have a fellowship with God the Father, something changes you. Yeah, right? I mean, you get changed. You see stuff like this and you say, wow, how can I be afraid? And there were times when I saw things like this, and I said, I am not afraid, because my God is the creator of the universe. There's nothing he can't do and hasn't done. He's just unbelievable. There are actually galaxies in this picture. You can't see them, but the Andromeda is right over there. And that's beautiful to see. It's like 10 light years away. It's huge. It's bigger than we are as the Milky Way. It's actually moving toward us, and they say it will gobble us up in the end. But when galaxies collide, sometimes none of the stars meet. I mean, the things that God does, sometimes we just say, that's impossible. Everything is possible with God. Is that right? Nothing is impossible. So it says, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. So there's things that happen there. It's not something we can just gloss over. He did that first. He first had fellowship. He didn't just pray. He had fellowship with the Father. Is that right? I didn't make this stuff up, right? This is what actually happened. So I really enjoy my time in that chair. And when the neighbors turn off their security lights, I enjoy it even more. I just wanted you to see that. Verse 2. Now early in the morning, he came again to the temple. So he'd already been there once. Now he's returning. And all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. So he was a good teacher, wasn't he? He was a good prophet. Who's the best prophet in the New Testament? Jesus. Who's the best teacher? Jesus. If you don't believe it, the guys on the road to Emmaus could tell you all about how good he does teaching. Verse 3, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. So circumstances of life are right there. He gets up from his night sleep and fellowship with the Father, and circumstances of life are right there. And it's almost as if the Father was saying, you need this kind of fellowship to be able to confront the circumstances in your life, because there are people that are not just doing bad things. There are evil people in this world. Is that true? With evil intent. Not just to oppress, but to go further, to bring death to the world. Why else do they want to kill children? Well, the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And they went and they set her in the midst. So there she is. I can't imagine doing that, but wow. Why would she even allow them to do that? Well, women were not treated well in those days. And they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. How terrible. Now it's flaunted. In these days. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? And this they said, testing him, that they might find something in which to accuse him. So some of the things that you go through are for a test. That the enemy wants to see how well you do. Just like Job. God's not afraid of you. He knows how good you are and what he's put in you, because you are a king and a priest unto your God. Is that right? But Jesus stooped down and he wrote in the ground with his finger as though he didn't hear. So he's like, oh, dear Lord, Father in heaven, the one who I talk to, I need your wisdom in this hour and this day and what to say. I've been in meetings when I've actually said that. People come with all kinds of accusations, or I would say more importantly, little wisdom for sure. And I would say, Lord, I need your wisdom to know what to say, how to steer these people in the right direction. And sometimes most of the time they've already made up their mind. Is that right? Same as this case. They've already made up their mind what they want to do. But Jesus didn't even hear him. So he acted like he didn't hear it, or it was as if he didn't hear. But he's just like doodling in the ground, so to speak. Now, some people say he wrote certain things that meant something much deeper, but it doesn't really say that here. And I think if he had, it would have said something, but it didn't. So there's no theology at this point, except that we need to hear God. Is that right? Don't read into the scriptures things that are not there. And believe me, there's been whole sermons about something just not there. So when they continued asking him, so they didn't relent. They didn't fall back and say, well, I guess he's not going to answer us. He raised himself up and said to them, and these words have such wisdom throughout humanity, throughout any culture, throughout any place. He said, he is without sin among you. Let him throw a stone at her first. Be the first to do it. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground, like, now it's your turn. So I think I had a sermon on this about gambit declined. Now, gambit is a trap in a chess game. The Queen's Gambit, how many of you saw that movie? A few. Well, a gambit is a trap set by the strategist behind the pieces in the chessboard. And a gambit decline means, I'm sorry, I'm not going to take your bait. I'm not going to go for the trap. And this is the Lord not going for the trap. And a lot of times that's what we need to do and say, I'm sorry, I don't have to respond here. I don't have to make a scene. It's now up to the Lord and the Holy Spirit and you, and it doesn't have anything to do with me. So he raised himself up and he said to them, well, he already did that. Well, what happened? Then those who had heard it, being convinced in their conscience, so the Holy Spirit was working here, then went out. They went out one by one, and this is interesting, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. So the ones who had the wisdom were the older guys. So I'm leaving now. The younger ones, who certainly have sinned as well, were the last to go. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in their midst. So there they were. Now it's just Jesus and her. So all of the accusers, all the ones who are setting the trap, all the ones who wanted to speak evil in this place were gone. And Jesus raised himself up and saw no one but the woman. And he said to her, woman, where are your accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. So there's no condemnation in the New Testament. Isn't that wonderful? That he came to rescue us from the accuser of the brethren. Even when you are guilty, caught even in the act. Well, how often have people brought something to the elders and they want justice and retribution? And it's a gambit declined because there's more love in our heart than there is any hate because of these scriptures and because of what God did there. Then Jesus says something that's very interesting, almost out of context. He spoke to them again saying, now who's them? I thought everybody left. Well, they don't go too far, apparently. He said to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. How could he say that? He could have said it only because he was spending time with the Father. He was fellowshipping with the Father. And the loving kindness from the throne of grace was a constant reminder of who his Father was in any circumstance that he would face against any accuser of the brethren. Even when the accuser went to him in the wilderness, you notice it wasn't just that he was quoting scripture, he was quoting his relationship with the Father, which could easily overcome any of the accusations of the evil one. Now, these next scriptures I think are very poignant to this process is that, well, how do I know that I'm really fellowshipping with God? How do I know who I am in Christ? Is it just a doctrine? Is it just a theology? Or when you spend enough time with him, is it just undeniable? Yeah. I can remember when I fell in love with my wife. I can remember those days. Right? And somebody says, well, you know, there are other girls, you know, there are other fish in the sea, you know. And I said, yeah, but I love her. So how did I come to that conclusion? Where were the accusers then? They weren't there because I had the fellowship of my dear girlfriend who was in love with me too. And I knew something to be true that could never be proven false. That's kind of awesome, isn't it? So here's what Jesus says about this relationship. Because now he's going to talk to you about well, how he confronted the Pharisees, but now he's going to talk to you about what this means to him and who he is in God, just as you can, who you are in God. And that was what Jesus was really speaking to us in Jessica's prophecy. You know, it's not time to retreat, but it's time to know who you are and go forward. And right? That's really awesome. Teresa as well. The Pharisees said, you bear witness of yourself. Your witness, and because you bear witness of yourself, your witness is not true. Why could they say that? Because the law says you can't just, you have to have two witnesses, not just one. So if you bear witness of yourself, how can that be true? Not according to the law. But you see, if you have this fellowship thing, you have more than one witness. And that's what he was saying. He says, even if I bear witness of myself, this is a scripture, I underline it, even if I bear witness of myself, my witness is true. Consider the theology of that statement. So he's saying, I'm above the law of the Old Testament. There doesn't have to be two witnesses because I can bear witness of myself. Meaning that they can't, but he can. He was there at the beginning with the Father. He was there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, Jesus. So he's saying, well, you guys are so far removed from where I am, you don't even know, but I can bear witness of myself, and my witness is true. Aren't you glad of that? That statement is really awesome. It doesn't depend on John the Baptist, actually. It didn't depend on Moses and Elijah, who talked with him on the Mount of Transfiguration. It didn't depend on anybody, or his mom, or his brothers, or anybody. It was who he knew he was because of a relationship that he had with God the Father. And that's what preachers like Billy Graham would always come for. It's not about religion. It's about a relationship, a personal relationship that you have with Jesus. And once you have that relationship, no one can take it away. You can go to prison, it's not gone. You can be isolated in the middle of a wilderness, it's not gone, still there. That's a theology. And what a wonderful thing that is. You will never be alone. There's nobody says, even though a mother might forsake her child, I can't even imagine that circumstance, but even if that were true, I can never leave you or forsake you. My plans for you are good, not evil. For I know where I came from and where I'm going. Isn't that good? That's it. How can he say it? Because he knows where he came from, the Father, where he's going, back to the Father. But you don't know where I came from or where I'm going. It's like you are ignorant. You're fools. You don't understand anything that's going on here. Now, there are a lot of people that are fools out there in these days. Like I just made a reference to Jeopardy. They didn't even know, hallowed be thy name. They didn't know the first line in the Lord's Prayer. I can't even imagine that. It's like, whoa, you need to go back to school. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. So well, that's true, right? We compare. When you're comparing things, what kind of car you drive, what kind of house you live in, what kind of clothes you wear, how you speak, you're judging according to flesh. Jesus doesn't do that. And yet, if I do judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. Not past tense or future tense, now. Just like you, now. In your circumstance, now. It is also written, the law, the testimony of two men is true. I am one who bears witness of myself. And then they said to him, and where is your Father? Yeah, excuse me. I am one who testifies, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. So if you know the Father, you know that there are two witnesses, basically. Jesus answered, said, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would also have known my Father also. But that's not happening, is it? These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he walked, taught in the temples, and no one laid hands on him, for his hour had not yet come. So he's speaking blasphemy, and he should not be alive. The stones should have been thrown at him, and they did try that on a few occasions. When Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sins. So who's he talking about? He's talking about those who are unrepented, and you will die in your sin, and where I go, you cannot come. So he's trying to draw a line. That line is not fuzzy. There are some people that go to heaven and some people go to hell, and then there's this big fuzzy line between them. No, that's not true. Jesus confronts that. In the church today, it seems to be there's a lot of fuzzy lines, but there isn't in the gospel. And that's why we want to pray for those who don't know the Lord, that they would know the Lord and can come to life. So the Jews said, will he kill himself? I mean, they had no clue what he was talking about. Was he suicidal? Because he says, where I go, you cannot come. And he said to them, the reality of what line, side of the line they're on. He says, you are from beneath, from hell, and I am from above. You are of this world, and I'm not of this world. Ouch. Yeah, right. Boy, talk about a condemning word. Therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins, for you do not believe that is I am he. You will die in your sins. Whoa. How sad. What a statement. May they be rebuked and may they repent from such statements. And then they said to him, who are you? Almost a sarcastic way. And Jesus said to them, just what I have been saying to you from the beginning. He hasn't changed. God doesn't change. I have many things to say and judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard from him. They didn't understand that he spoke to them about the Father. And Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. That's the one Brad likes, that scripture. For he who sent me is with me. He's with me, always with it, Jesus. Well, that's Jesus, not me. Yes, it is you. In the New Testament, he has died on the cross so that you would be filled with the Spirit and be with Jesus. And God the Father will let himself be known to you. That's why he said, pray this way. Let your kingdom come. You're talking to the Father, not to the Lord. Jesus, but the Father. There's a Trinity. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things which please him. As he spoke these words, what? They rejected him? As he spoke these words, the Holy Spirit was at work. Just as when you say these words to those who don't believe, the Holy Spirit can be at work. Many believed in him. Wow, I don't know how that's true. They didn't have any understanding of who Jesus was or what he's about to do. But there were those that the Holy Spirit was working in their heart so powerfully they could break through any of the traditions and the laws of men and the hate that was there in that place, who were about ready to stone a woman to death. And Jesus, yeah, thank you, Lord. Can we stop there and go away? And Jesus said these things to the Jews who believed him. If you abide in my word, that's make a camp there, live there. Fellowship there. You are my disciples indeed. For you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And the Lord also spoke to us about that. The freedom that God has for us is true freedom. It isn't just freedom from the law. It's beyond the law. There's a freedom that we have yet to walk in. I honestly believe that we don't know what it's about because we're so used to be in bondage. The enemy has tied us, and we're just like have a few strands off of us and was ever free. We're going to be free like you have never believed that you're free. David believes it. I do too. Isn't this good stuff? Never mind the preamble. This is good. And they answered, I said, and this is, now they answered. Because he was talking to who? Those who were, quote-unquote, believers, or headed towards believing. But there was a mixture going on. They answered him and said, We are Abraham's descendants. We have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free? So they're, we're Abraham's descendants. We have the badge, you know, to put on our shoulder. You know, we know who we are. We're not like the Greeks, the Romans. No way. We're free because of the heritage that they had and Abraham. But you've got a heritage that's not of this world. And that's also what the prophetic word said to us today, too. Your heritage is not of this world. That your father is the father in heaven. Right, Vera? She was the one who said that to us. And Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. So you were slaves, slaves to sin. But that's not what God called you to be. He wants you to be more, much more than a slave, not just free from slavery. He says, a son abides forever. Where did he learn that? In the prayer closet. Therefore, if the Son of Man makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Wow. There's a freedom we don't know about. The next verses, maybe I'll just summarize it. It begins to address this whole idea of being Abraham's descendants. And there, the people there says, Abraham is our father. What are you talking about? We're children of Abraham. And he's saying to them, no, if you were really children and knew the Father, you wouldn't be seeking to kill me. So I already knew what their intentions were. And they said to him, you are born of fornication. We have one Father, God. And that, of course, is what every Jew would say. They have every right to say that, you know, under their law. Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would have loved me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? So he's speaking to them plainly things that they can't possibly understand unless the Holy Spirit leads them. Because you are not able to listen to my word. That's an interesting scripture. That people that are of the enemy cannot hear the word of God. When you speak it, they're not even listening. They can't hear it. You could go before the Senate subcommittee and say all you want, and if that person isn't there willing to hear the word, they're not going to hear it. We've seen that happen in people that are debating back and forth. One person says something that sounds pretty good, and the other one has no clue. No clue. You have to hear it. You have to be wanting to hear the word. So I prepare my heart. In this place, in the living room, I prepare my heart to hear the word of God. I think I know the word of God as much as I'm able, but I need to hear it in here and now. What's God saying to me today, this hour, these trials? Now, maybe I'll just digress a moment here because I went to the neurologist this week because my Guillain-Barré syndrome had it was getting worse. So it's increasingly more difficult to walk. I'd be waking up in the middle of the night and feeling like my bones were being crushed. And it was like, ugh. So I just said, I know. I prayed about it. I said, I'll go to the neurologist. And Cheryl was saying, I don't know if this is really God. Now it's important you pay attention to your wife. So I said, okay, I want to hear you, Lord, in this thing. At any rate, after you know, almost a whole hour with two neurologists. They were more confused than ever about any kind of treatment plan. Like they didn't have one. There is no treatment plan. And if you go on the net, you'll find out that nobody really knows what causes this disease. And so, but there is one who does. Is that true? So I'm not fearful about this. And Cheryl says, you need to, like, straighten up your posture. you know, stand up straight. Seek the Lord in this. And he's going to be with you. And he is. And he has. I feel very much like that's what God is doing in this hour. It's not a time for me to say, oh, well, woe is me. There's no hope. There's a lot of hope. There's a lot of hope. And I keep saying that online. I'll say, where there is no hope, there you're going to find it. Yeah. Then you start speaking about the devil. I think it's kind of interesting. I never used to want to hear about the devil and, you know, the lines between Christianity and righteousness and the devil seemed to me like almost hocus pocus when I first came to the Lord. But the more I walk with the Lord, I realize that it's a real creature, creation, Satan. Jesus says, you are your father, the devil. So there's two fathers out there and they're directing their sons. The desires of your father you want to do. He was, listen to this, he didn't just have pride. Jesus says he was a murderer from the beginning. Because he knew his heart. Satan was a murderer from the beginning. He doesn't want you just to be fall into the trap of evil. He wants to kill you. Take you out forever. He does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Murder, no truth. See, the lines Jesus is drawing in the sand are very clear. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Wow. There's no room for him. No fuzzy line. He is evil. And that evil is a murdering evil. That evil is the evil where there's no truth and lies. Well, but because I tell the truth, you don't believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin and tell the truth? Why do you not believe me? He who is God hears God's words. Therefore, you don't hear me because you're not of God. Boy, that's a line that cannot be erased. Thankfully, we're called to be Christians, to be his sons and daughters. Amen? Then the Jews answered and said, Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon? So they're just making his words more true. They don't even know it. Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me, and I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Who's that? The Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. So now he's not speaking just of righteousness. He's speaking of something that they have no idea what he's talking about. And they said, now we know you have a demon. You know why? Because Abraham's already dead, the prophets. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, they shall never taste death. But they're already dead. Abraham, who's dead, the prophets are dead. So how can you make yourself out? Who are you making yourself out to be? And Jesus answered, he says, if I honor myself, I am honoring nothing. My honor is nothing, excuse me. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say he is your God. Yet you do not know him, but I know him, right back there. And if I say I do not know him, I would be a liar to you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. So there's nothing he could say. He could never say about his Father, about his relationship with God, that it doesn't exist. It is so ingrained in him, the fellowship that he has with the Father, that it's not erasable from his testimony. Your father Abraham would have rejoiced to see my day. He saw it and was glad. Probably the Mount of Transfiguration. It was just Jesus and Moses and Elijah, though. Then the Jews said to him, you're not even 50 years old, kid. You have seen Abraham? And Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, and he uses the name of God, Yeshua, I am. And that's what people say, well, did Jesus ever say he was God? There it is in black and white. Jesus did say he was God. Where does it say that in the New Testament? Right there. Okay? 8:57. It says it in another couple places too, but there it is, very clear. Before Abraham was, by the way, I am who I am. Wow, what a statement. And that's when they took up the stones to kill him. And Jesus hid himself. How did he do that? It was a miracle. He went out of the temple going through their midst and so passed by. How did all of those things, how were they able to take place? From the accusation against the woman caught in adultery to the accusations against Jesus and his relationship with the Father, how could they stand up to the test? They could only stand up to the test by having a relationship, not a prayer life ministry, but a relationship with the Father. See, we're all so caught up in about ministry, is this, and who God's called me to be. We're all called to have fellowship with the Father. And there is no other way to the Father. Jesus says, I am the only way. Nobody, you can't get through to the Father through any other door. Abraham isn't going to work for you anymore. What a joyous time we have when we come to worship the Lord on Sunday mornings. What a joyous time. Is that right? What a joyous time it is when we come in home groups. What a joyous time when we come on Friday night and just worship the Lord. I know it's hard for Paul to like play for 2 hours. It's hard for me just to sit in a chair for 2 hours. But it is worth it to be able to glorify our God in heaven in the presence of our brothers and sisters. We're not just doing it alone, like here. Then we take our witness to the world. We take our witness to encourage one another in our assembly. From there, we can take our witness to the world in the mall, or where the malls might be these days. But wherever you might find a Lowe's, for example, where I seem to go most frequently. My car says, are you going to Lowe's now? But it also asks me if I'm going to church. Are you going to 71 Lake Katrine? Yep, click. So, Father, we thank you for that relationship that we have with you this day, this hour. And we refuse, just like you, we refuse to shrink back from that relationship and somehow erase any part of it, because we know the truth of it. You are a good God. We sang that song, we are a good, good Father. That cannot be erased from our heart, no matter what anybody does to us in our trial, even take us to the gallows. It would never be erased. In the face of death, it would never be erased. If you don't want to say it, you don't have to, but I do. There is nothing that will make me turn away from you. We thank you, Lord God, for making it so real in our life. It's even as you have given us brothers and sisters to pray with and pray for, not just pray with, but to pray for, Lord, that we're not going to turn away from them either. And the fellowship that you've brought between us sometimes is fleeting, a greeting, whatever it might be, a smile. Maybe fleeting, but they're not just fleeting. There's the eternal weight of glory behind it because of our relationship with you. Help us, Lord, to pray more for one another when we go through these trials, whatever they might be. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.